Well, this Chicago Harvest event is going to be an exciting thing, and I could tell that this congregation was really into it when I saw the bumper stickers on the front doors. It's like, oh my. Then I walked in and I saw all the signs up. It's like, wow. But I knew you were really serious about this when I went to the bathroom and saw a poster in there. It's like, okay, this is for real. As many of you know, I am a teacher. I teach Bible at Timothy Christian High School. And so I'm just curious how many students, now this could be elementary, junior high, high school, college, graduate school, how many students are in here right now? Come on, don't be shy. Okay. Good, good. Okay, good. Now here's the next question. Do not feel bad if you don't raise your hand. You're not a bad person. Okay? How many of you who just raised your hand, how many of you enjoy school? There's one. Okay. Okay, just a few of you. Okay. That's all right. Now, even though you may or may not like school, all of us should have the attitude of being a student. We should like to learn in life. So for myself, for instance, honestly, nobody has to force me on this. I just like to learn more about the Bible. I just do. And communicating the Bible, even in high school, when the preacher would preach, I would listen to the sermon, and I would evaluate and think about how the preacher delivered the message, even in high school. And I still like to do this. And as many of you know, nobody has to force me to learn more about trees. I just like to do it. Now, since I'm a teacher, I wanted to do something a little different here, and I'd like to hear from the students. Okay? I would like to hear what you like to learn. Now, I'm not talking about favorite subject in school. Is this on? Is this on? Do I have to flip a switch? I would like to know what you like to learn about. Now it's on. Okay. Okay. So what do you naturally like to learn about? Now I'm talking to the adults here, not to the students, although students can say. So what is it? And it doesn't have to be a school subject. Okay? What do you like to learn more about? You're just naturally motivated. Come on. Yes.
I like to learn about jewelry.
Jewelry. Okay. That's good. Somebody else? What do you like to learn about? Come on, students. Yes?
I like to learn about food.
Food. Okay. Everybody likes her. That's good. Anybody else here? Oh, we have somebody back here. Okay.
Nature.
Nature. And that's interesting to you, right? Okay. Anybody over here? What do you like to learn about? Crocheting and knitting. Anybody over here? Just say this. Cultures, different ways that people live in this world. That's all very interesting. Well, we could go on, but we'll stop there. The point is this. All of us should be students and want to learn our whole life. This also applies to our faith. We should be students when it comes to learning about God's Word and what God wants to speak to us through His Word. And so the message today simply is, what is God teaching you? The sermon, well, first, I'd like to think a little bit more about this idea of what God is teaching you. The second point of the message actually is going to be the scripture reading, Romans chapter 12. And then the third point is, what is God teaching you through Romans chapter 12? The power of this sermon today, sad to say, is really not anything profound that I have to say, not some insightful nugget. The power of this message today on purpose is simply this. The way you, your heart, the way you receive God's Word. Much of what I have to say, you have heard before. In the next few minutes, the important thing here is to consider, what is God teaching me? And in your bulletin, you have this sheet. This sheet here isn't necessarily to take notes in the sermon. If you take notes in something I say, maybe on the back side here. But this sheet is specifically designed for you to write down what you feel God wants you to learn in your life these days. And at the end of the message, I will give a moment of time for us to reflect on this. And if you write some things down during the sermon, great. But if you don't get to it, that's fine. At the end, I'm going to give a time to prayerfully consider how you feel God is teaching you. So let's begin. What is God teaching you? And when I ask that question, I mean this. Right now, this week, in the present circumstances of your life and everything that's going on around you, what is God uniquely wanting to teach you? For we should never look at faith as something that is static, something that is set. Faith isn't an all-inclusive resort that we just settle in and go, ah. Faith is a journey. It is a movement. That's why this message applies to everybody in this room. In fact, even if the Apostle Paul himself were here today, this message would apply to him. Although if he were here, he'd be preaching, not me. But anyway, it applies to everyone. And just because you've learned something in life does not mean you have completely learned something. So you might say, ah, I have learned this. God has taught me this. Well, maybe there's more. Very often, you know, we're like the onion. We got the first layer. Okay, got that taken care of. Oh, there's another layer. Unwrap that. Oh, there's another layer. When I think about the onion thing and learning, I think about patience in my life. In high school and in college, I just saw different circumstances in which I would get impatient. I identified this and I prayed about it. Lord, work your fruit of patience in my life. I need this. And do you know? That prayer was answered. I could see that I grew in patience. But then do you know what happened? I got married. Now, you think this is unfair because my wife's not here today. I told her about this, okay? And let me just tell you, my wife is the answer to my prayers. She is an amazing woman. I love her with all of my heart. But she's always thinking like a female. And I just don't get this sometimes. And so, you know, we get married and it's wonderful, but oh boy, gotta pray for patience. And I did. I really prayed for patience, and I believe God gave me patience. And then do you know what happened? We had kids. I liked my kids. I love my kids, but they would wake me up at night. You know, I'd want to do this, and I'm doing this. And again, God wanted me to grow in patience. He was teaching me more patience. And so we need to, as we go through life, as we learn and grow, we always need to remember that there's always room to learn and grow more. Now, last school year, and this is kind of how the seed of the sermon began in my mind. Last school year, in my 10th grade Bible class, one day I passed out little sheets of paper to all the students. And I said to them, I'd like you to write down anonymously, no names, write down what you feel God is teaching you in your life. Like right now. What do you believe God is teaching you in your life? And so they wrote those down and I read them. And I read them to the class. I thought, wow, this is really good. And I would like to share them with you. Some of them are hard to read. But I just scanned them into the computer. So these are their comments. What is God teaching you? To center my life around Him. I think God is really trying to teach me to truly recognize when someone is being mean to another person. How to love myself better and have more faith in Him. I think that God is trying to teach me about integrity and how to be myself around everyone and how cool trees are. Yeah, he or she should have written their name on that. That's extra credit points. Anyway. Next, awesome skills, nunchuck skills, computer hacking skills. I put this on there because a student actually did this. I wanted to be honest with you about this little exercise. I think this is important, though, because, you know, maybe the student was just, you know, wanted to be funny. Maybe the student was struggling with the question. And maybe there's somebody here today that says, well, this question doesn't apply to me, or I really don't even want to think about this question. And I would just encourage you to keep an open mind to what is God teaching you as we go through the message today. To commit myself daily for the Lord, to always keep my eyes on Him, that He controls everything. Though I am worried about my future outside of high school, He wants me to know that He is in control of everything. Be patient with the things around me. Love the people who don't deserve it. Forgive, forget, and let go. I am beautiful to God. I am worth more than I think I am. I think God is trying to teach me that certain people are not a good reflection of Him, but that they are not necessarily hypocrites, but that they have just made mistakes. I shouldn't base my faith off of them. A strong faith in Christ is not easily gained. It takes great motivation and want. How important family is. I think God is trying to teach me that He will be with me through all the tough times and that there is always people there for me. I think God is trying to teach me that people who really annoy me should bring out the best in me and not the worst. Actions speak louder than words. Sometimes we don't know where the money is coming from, but God always provides. He's teaching me not to worry about tomorrow, for it is all in His hands. All I can do is have faith. God is teaching me to rely on Him when I am nervous about something. How to forgive. He is teaching me to focus more on Him. And now, what about you? I asked my 10th grade class this question, and now I ask you this question. I hope that by the end of this message, there will be some very specific things in your mind. And if you could already answer the question right now, be praying and thinking about something more, something else that God may be teaching you in your life. It doesn't have to be profound. Sometimes the simplest things have the greatest power in our lives. And so now we're going to turn our attention to God's Word, to Romans chapter 12. Please bow with me for a word of prayer. O Lord, Your word is a gift. May we treasure it and hide it deep in our hearts. Speak to us, we pray. Amen. Romans 1 through 11, Paul's best and most thorough explanation of our problem of sin and the salvation that is provided for us through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1 through 11. And now here we have one of the biggest therefores in the Bible. Therefore, all that I have said about sin and salvation through Jesus Christ, therefore, listen to these words. Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord. Romans 12 is a passage that is so full, so rich, that in fact a sermon series could be based on this passage. I selected it because it is one of the best Christian living passages in the New Testament. There's a lot here. My intent this morning is not to explain every nuance and detail of Romans 12. I am just going to highlight a few things. And along the way, the point is that you will consider what God may be teaching you. When you consider being a student before God, we need to pray. We need to reflect on our lives, what's going on, and what? Read God's Word. Meditate on God's Word. Consider what it has to say into the unique circumstances of your life. And so, you might get something from here that I don't even mention, but that is fine. I would like to just briefly look at mercy, living sacrifices, transformed mind, the church, and character, Christian character. First, mercy, in view of God's mercy. Some of you here today feel tripped up by sin, maybe trampled by sin. Maybe you are living your life under the weight of guilt and the cloud of shame. God wants to teach you that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to live your life in view of God's mercy. Sure, there are consequences to our sin, and sure, we should feel guilty over sin, but we should not live live in guilt. Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to live our lives in view of God's mercy. Living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. We are to give God control of our life. God's way is the best way. You know what usually happens, practically speaking? We will submit this area and this area and this area to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We surrender those to Jesus. But then we kind of keep this area and this area to ourselves, meaning we want to call the shots. And if what we do conflicts with God's will, well, we still call the shots, and we've surrendered those areas to God. Well, we are called to be a living sacrifice. Does God want to teach you in your life that you need to surrender more of your life to the Lordship of Jesus? Transformed mind. We hear so many messages. I mean, right now you're hearing God's word, of course. And through the week, hopefully, you're hearing messages coming from God's word. But there are all sorts of other messages sending mixed signals into our mind throughout the week. And those other messages, some of them contain nuggets of God's truth, but many of them are contrary and directly opposed to God's word. The question is, what is forming how you think? Now, here is perhaps maybe the most insightful thing that I have to say. It's something that I've been thinking about recently. This past summer, I read an article from the New York Times. Author was not a Christian, but I read this article and it challenged my faith. It had to do with the mind. So this reporter had gone to California, and there was this family that allowed the reporter just to observe their family life. And the reporter asked all kinds of questions, and the family was just honest. Now, this family was a family that had gone overboard in terms of online and screen time. I mean, the dad was, he just said, when I get into bed at night, I got my computer and I'm online. The last thing I do before I fall asleep is go offline. When I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do in the morning, I am online. One computer screen is not enough for me. I need three wide screens in front of me. His wife said, do you know, I try to talk to him, and it's like he's not there. I mean, he'll respond to me, but he's not there. Their two kids, completely plugged in. Online, in front of the screen all the time. And this reporter used this family that, you know, was on one end of things to an extreme to make the point, what is our society doing to us and doing to our minds? How is it forming our minds? And in fact, I believe all of us will see more results of scientific study in this area. I've been reading about this. Well, here's the point I want to make. I just wonder if too much screen time forms our minds in such a way that it hinders our ability to contemplate. And if it hinders our ability to contemplate, it hurts our prayer life. I don't like this. I don't like my culture forming my mind in a way that I don't want it to. So it just made me think about that. How can I use screen as a tool and be in control of that and not have it control me? I throw that out there for your consideration. Almighty God wants to transform our minds, and we shouldn't let other things in this world form our mind. The church. It's clear in this passage and in other passages in the Bible that the church should be a priority in our lives. In this passage, there's two main things. One is unity in Christ. In Christ and one body. Are you a unifying force within the church? And then secondly, different gifts. This is a big one that we should always be praying about. God, what are you teaching me about being a servant in the church? You need the church, and guess what? The church needs you. It is true that certain circumstances in life kind of call us to take a step back for a time. But we should always be thinking and praying, how does God want to use me and the gifts he has given me in the body of Christ? And then there is character. Oh my, what a list we have in Romans 12. There's a lot here. I'll just highlight a few. Sincere love. Now, to be honest, sometimes we have to fake love, right? Okay? We see someone coming to us. This person, you know, if we got pet peeves, this person just unconsciously knows our pet peeves. So we put on the cheesy smile. Hi, nice to see you. Yes, how are you doing? Oh, yes. Oh, we're in the church, you know. It's not sincere. Now, this is the way it is. This is the fact of life. Sometimes we can struggle with sincere love toward other people. We need to identify that. We need to be honest about this. And we also need to realize that the place that we are in is not the end result. God wants us to move to a place so that when that person comes toward us that we struggle with, that genuinely the love of Jesus is within us for that person. And we have sincere love. Devoted in love. Honoring. Truly honoring other people. Fervor. Passion for God. Living for Jesus Christ is not a ho-hum experience. Several years ago, I was teaching a middle school class after lunch. Well, I was trying to teach a middle school class after lunch. And I made the mistake, I don't know why I did this. Maybe it was just we needed a break or something. I made the mistake of asking them which Chicago sports team was which Chicago baseball team was the best, the Cubs or the Sox. Okay, I said this, I immediately lost all control in the class. And you would be amazed at the fervor. I mean, it started kind of little, but then students were standing up, they were shouting loyalty to their team, and it was amazing. The fervor in the room, unbelievable. Friends, you and I can learn from those middle schoolers and their fervor for their Chicago sports team. Maybe fervor for the Bears. We have lots of things that we get into in life, and that is good. And people express fervor in different ways. But for the people who know you the best, could they say of you, ah, that person is passionate about Jesus? Perhaps God wants you to learn about what it means to be more passionate for Jesus Christ. Joyful, not because everything is good, but because of hope. Patient, especially when suffering. Some of you in this room can teach the rest of us what it means to be patient in suffering. Prayer. All of us need to be more faithful in prayer. Sharing. Blessing our enemies. Blessing even those those that annoy us. Rejoice, mourn, harmony. I don't know, I think of the teenage drama queen. You got a little conflict, and the specialty is to make it a bigger conflict, right? Are you a person that when conflict comes, it gets less instead of more? Rejoicing with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, harmony, and no pride. What is God teaching me? What is God teaching you today? Here's how I'd like to end this message. I'm going to have a word of prayer and invite the worship team up. And then I would like to give you just a minute or two to write down on this sheet. It doesn't have to be five, but one, two, three, or four things that you feel God is teaching you. If you're not the writer type of person, that's all right. Think about this. And I would challenge you to share this at lunch or share at least one of these with someone else today. Because when you share it, that keeps you accountable and it raises the importance for you to learn this lesson. Let's pray. Mighty God, we still ourselves before you. We are very aware of ways in which we fall short. Help us to live our lives in view of your amazing grace and your mercy. I pray, O Lord, that you would work in our thinking, that you would guide our thoughts so that we might accurately understand what it is that you want to teach us right now in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.